the darkness I stumbled alone, far from the sunlight of day. Then Jesus found me and made me his own. He drove my darkness away. Before I loved him, he loved me. Chilled in the shadows, I wandered in sin, far from the warmth of the light. Then Jesus found me and changed me within, kindled his love in the night. Now in the sunlight I follow his word through every trial and test. He is my Savior and he is my Lord. Gladly I give him my best.
Thank you, Faith. Appreciate that. Good song this evening. All right, we're halfway through the book of Acts right now, finishing chapter 14 last week. And after the service last Wednesday night, I was just troubled in my spirit about continuing any further. It's gotten a little tedious for me. If it gets a little tedious for me, it'll get a little tedious for you for sure. And I might have taken a little bit too long in the early chapters, but we're going to come back to it. It's not going anywhere. It'll be in the book for a long time. And so we're going to come back to it. But I need a break from it. Spurgeon warned about being in a series so long that you get bogged down in it. He wrote about that in his book, I think, Lectures to My Students. He talked about that, if not that book, another one. And so I just felt so I don't know how long we're going to be gone from Acts. I'm not starting any series tonight, but I just wanted to, something else was on my mind and my heart, and we'll get back into it here one of these days. Like I say, we are halfway through now, and it is an important book, and it does take time to dig through those early chapters so that we understand and don't get confused from what's going on in the book of Acts. I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, Biblical Facts About Human Government. And I don't want the title to mislead you to think that I'm going to get into great detail about, what's going on with our government right now. I do not plan to do that. Neither will I come at this from the Romans 13 approach. There's a couple of things that, in a very generic way, from the passages we'll look at tonight, that our Bible teaches us about government, and especially the Gentile governments that will be in existence until Jesus comes to set up his kingdom, all right? And so that's kind of an introduction to it. I have a specific place that I'm going in this message, and we'll get there in a little bit. So let's pray together before we begin. Lord, thank you for the good song. Thank you for loving us and finding us so that we can in return, Lord, love you and enjoy the full salvation that Jesus gave us. Now, Lord, bless the lesson tonight. And Lord, help us as your people not to be ignorant. No, we don't need to have our head in the sand. That's foolish. Help us to be wide awake. It is nighttime out there, but we are people of the day. We should be able to see clearly and not stumble about as those that, Lord, have not salvation. So you've given us a book and the Spirit within us. Help us tonight to learn just a couple of simple facts about this thing. And help me, I pray, as the teacher in Jesus' name. And amen. Now, look at Luke chapter... Well, before I get to Luke 21... I just will say this. Anybody who has given an ounce of attention to government events the past month or so has to be amazed at what is happening. And I'll tell you what, friend, it just seems like the agenda of our president right now is picking up speed at a breakneck pace. And it seems like he's very brazen about his intentions and what he wants to do. And so it's very interesting, okay? Now, I do not believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. Although some believe that he is the anti-John the Baptist for the Antichrist. You know, John the Baptist paved the way for Jesus Christ. He was the forerunner, okay? And I'm not saying that's true about Obama, but I'm going to tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me any with all that he's doing, okay? So I guess we'll find out someday, could be, but we'll find out someday for sure. Now, there are some things we can learn about human government from the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel chapter 2. We're going to be there in just a moment. But before that, I wanted to show you Luke 21 and verse number 24, because it ties into Daniel chapter 2 there, okay? Look at verse 24 of chapter 21, Gospel of Luke. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Now, I want you to see that the subject matter of verse 24 is Jerusalem toward the end of the verse. Jerusalem, all right, over there in Israel. Now, the times of the Gentiles, you see that little phrase there, the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles began when the Babylonian army invaded and overthrew Judah and its capital city, Jerusalem. Okay, you remember how the kingdom of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, northern and southern, Israel and Judah, and Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom, and Jerusalem was the capital of the southern kingdom. Okay, Israel went into captivity first at the hands of Assyria and King Sennacherib and that crowd, and then Nebuchadnezzar came to Judah some years later, and Judah went into captivity, and Jerusalem was overthrown by a Gentile world power. Now, since that time, Israel, listen carefully to what I'm going to say now, Israel has not possessed the fullness of its inheritance. As Abraham, as it was promised in the Abrahamic covenant, nor has it dwelt in peace. You say, "Well, now, wait a minute, I thought Jerusalem was under Israeli control." Yes, it is right now. It was under Israeli control. But the Arab population in Jerusalem is significant. You got the Arab quarter. All right? The Arab population is significant there. And there are holy sites in Jerusalem that remain under Arab control provided by the United Nations. Okay? For instance, you know, one of the symbols of continuing Gentile dominion is the Dome of the Rock Mosque that is located where the temple once stood, but the Jewish people can't do anything about replacing it right now without escalating a war in the Middle East. Okay, so even though they're in control of the city of Jerusalem, they don't have full autonomy there. The United Nations still has, through their treaties or whatever they say, some type of intermeddling in the nation of Israel. So the Jews, since Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, Jerusalem has not existed in full autonomous control of the Israeli people since that time, and they don't dwell in peace. And you know that they don't dwell in peace today. All right. And the Abrahamic covenant involved more land than what Israel has as a nation right now, and it involved peace. So I'm simply saying the times of the Gentiles began when Nebuchadnezzar invades. Even during the tribulation period, Jerusalem is going to be a place of chaos, especially at the middle of the tribulation period. Okay? When the Antichrist offers the pig on the altar of the temple there, it is going to be Katie bar the door. So Israel, the times of the Gentiles, I don't believe they will end until Jesus comes to set up His kingdom. And He rules and reigns from the throne of His father David. And I don't think the times of the Gentiles will end until then. All right, now, in Daniel chapter 2, okay, let's go there. So that's what the times of the Gentiles. Now, Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's already invaded Babylon. So Judah and Jerusalem have already been overrun and overthrown. Israel is in captivity. Daniel's over there with all the other Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that crowd. And God, through Nebuchadnezzar's dream, gives the children of Israel a glimpse of Gentile government down in the future. And I think the reason He does this is to show them, is to give them a little bit of comfort, to give them a little bit of hope, okay? To give them a little bit of, this is what's coming, okay? Now look, I'm not, you know, you're being punished right now and you're in captivity and you disobeyed me and I warned you and you deserve what you're getting, but I am going to put you back in your land and you are going to be the prominent people again, and I am going to pick up my calendar with you. And so He gives the Israeli people, the Jewish people, kind of a glimpse of the Gentile government through the future. All right, now let's look at it here. Many of you are familiar with this dream, and we're going to break it down beginning in verse number 32. All right, now we're in the middle of the chapter here. Daniel has received the interpretation of the dream from God, and so he's gone in to talk to Nebuchadnezzar, and he actually says in verse 31, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, the old husks. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stones that smote the image, became a great mountain." Now, a mountain in the Bible is oftentimes a kingdom. A kingdom, all right? "Became a great kingdom or a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Now, so Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, this is the dream you had. And Nebuchadnezzar says, man, you're right. That's it. So let's dissect this dream. All right. Beginning with number one, the head of gold. If you like to mark your Bible, you could draw a line from verse 32 to verses 36 through 38. Okay, where it says, this image's head, verse number 32, this image's head was of fine gold. You can stop right there and draw a line or put beside that verses 36 through 38. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's pretty plain. So it is very clear that Nebuchadnezzar, and in person, and the Babylonian world empire, is pictured by this head of gold. So here's this great big image that Nebuchadnezzar has dreamed about, with this big head of gold. And Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, that head of gold represents you and your kingdom and your power. And by the way, I want you to notice there that in verse number 37, Daniel told him, the God of heaven hath given thee this. Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that the hard way in chapter 4. Okay? He should have listened to Daniel back in chapter 2. He learned it the hard way in chapter 4. Now, this is a picture of the Empire of Babylon. Babylon historically was known by some as the Golden Kingdom because it was literally saturated with gold. I read so much yesterday and today that I don't have all my notes right here, and the facts are starting to kind of all run together. But one of the Herods visited Babylon and was just impressed with how much the way after Babylon was no longer a world power. He visited Babylon and was impressed with how much gold was still in the city. All right, so it was called the Golden Kingdom. So Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, is the head of gold. That's where they were living. That's the time and that they were living in right then, okay, that Israel was living in. All right, number two. In verse number 32, when you continue reading, he says, his breast and his arms of silver. So going down the body, he's got a chest and arms of silver. All right, look at verse number 39. Verse number 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. And then we'll stop right there because the rest talks about the other kingdom. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Now, it is a matter of historical record that the Medo-Persian Empire followed the Babylonian Empire as a world power. It's a matter of record. In fact, you can read about the transfer of power in Daniel chapter 5. All right? When Belteshazzar has that big feast, and then they see the hand, the fingers of the man's hand writing on the wall, and they're having that awful, horrible, sinful, wicked, vice-filled feast. And God interrupts that thing with the hand, the fingers of a man's hand writing on the wall. And that very night, the Medo-Persian army came in. It's a tremendous story about how they overthrew Babylon. Unbelievable story about how they overthrew Babylon. And so the transfer of power as a world empire from Babylon to Medo-Persia actually took place, recorded there at the end of Daniel chapter 5. Okay, now, Medo-Persia was not near the magnificent empire that Babylon was. Silver is a lesser metal than gold. If you've been able to buy any gold over these years, and you looked on the price today, last time I looked, I think gold was over $1,600, almost $1,700 an ounce. Silver is probably what, $30, $31 an ounce. So silver is not near as valuable as gold. And the kingdom of Medo-Persia, even though it was in landmass, it became bigger than the Babylonian Empire. It never reached the glory of the Babylonian Empire. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So it's a world empire, but it's not the glory that the world empire of Babylon was. So it's pictured by the silver. And by the way, there are two arms, and it was a joint empire, a Median-Persian joint empire. Some of the kings that ruled over the empire were of Persian descent. Some of them were of Median descent. And you can read about that in your Bible, okay? So here's Nebuchadnezzar. He has this dream. He's got this head of gold. This image has a head of gold that pictures him and the Babylonian world empire. Then it comes chest and arms of silver. And Daniel says, he didn't say this, but he says, another kingdom inferior to yours will follow you. That's the Medo-Persian Empire, represented by the chest and arms of silver. All right, let's keep reading here. And in verse number 32 again, the Bible says, his belly and his thighs of brass. So you're coming down the figure of this man now. You get to his belly, his loins, his thighs were made out of brass. Look at verse number 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, that's Medo-Persia, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Okay, now hold your finger, Daniel 2. We're coming back there in a minute. Turn over to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. To Daniel chapter 8, we learn a little bit about the second and third world empires. Okay, Daniel chapter 8. Daniel, let me just give it to you quickly. Daniel has a vision of a ram and a goat. Now watch this. This ram has two horns, and one of the horns is larger than the other. And that ram is a picture of the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medo-Persian Empire in its latter days was stronger than it was in its former days. And that's why one horn is larger than the other. Okay, that's what the ram represents. Now, the goat represents another kingdom. Look down at verse number 20, Daniel chapter 8 and verse number 20. The ram, which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. Okay? That's the second kingdom, the chest and the arms of brass. Of silver, I'm sorry. The chest and the arms of silver. Okay? Look at verse 21. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, or Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now stop right there. Daniel was having this vision of this ram, had these two horns. And as he watched, this goat, you could read this in chapter 8, this goat came running across the landscape, fast and furious, and rammed into that, it just rammed the ram, knocked him, and just knocked him right over. And the Bible says that that goat is the third kingdom, the kingdom of Greece. And that notable horn on that goat is the first king. Well, who was the first ruler of the Grecian Empire? His name was Alexander the Great. Okay? He became a world ruler before age 33. He was an alcoholic. And the Grecian Empire came to power with tremendous speed. So this belly and loin and thighs of brass in Daniel chapter 2 in this image, this is a picture of the Grecian Empire. Now, they were very famous for their brazen armor. One of the things I read, it's interesting sometimes to go back and read about this kind of history. It's a little bit tedious, but it's interesting. And they said if you would see a picture of a Medo-Persian warrior and dressed in his battle gear, it was a description of what you and I think of when we think of Al-Qaeda, with a turban and a robe. Okay, and that's the kind of gear that the Medo-Persian soldiers wore. But they said if you saw a picture of a Grecian soldier, he would be wearing a brazen coat of armor. They were called the brazen-coated Greeks. All right, and that they rose to power and became world power after Medo-Persia, the Grecian Empire, came to power under the leadership of Alexander the Great. Now, once again, brass is an inferior metal to silver. Okay? So you've got gold, then you've got silver, and then you've got brass. And the Grecian Empire never became in glory what the Medo-Persian Empire was, but it was nonetheless a world power. So you got this vision, and you got this man, head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass. And God tells Daniel to tell Nebuchadnezzar that the Babylonian Empire is the head of gold. The chest and arms of silver are the Medo-Persian Empire that's following Nebuchadnezzar. And the next Gentile world power is Greece. And that's exactly what happened according to history. Now, look at verse number 33, okay? He's continuing to describe the vision. Verse 33. He says, now his legs of iron. So this vision of this man, this image, his two legs are legs of iron. Now, according to history, Rome became the ruling world power after Greece. Rome was the ruling world power during the days of Jesus on the earth. That's what the Jews were hoping for when their Messiah came. They were hoping for somebody to overthrow the Roman oppression. And that's not what Jesus came to do. And that's one of the reasons why they rejected him as their Messiah. They were looking for a warrior king, not a shepherd, a savior. All right? And so this is what happened. But now, wait a minute. Part of that Roman Empire was still influenced by the Grecian culture, the empire that preceded them. We've talked about that before in our study of the book of Acts, the Hellenistic Jews. Okay? So this is where all this comes together. So Rome was a world power after Greece during the days of Jesus. They were famous for their iron legions. Famous for their iron legions. And it's interesting to note that the image had two legs of iron. If you know anything about the Roman Empire, it was eventually divided into two divisions. You had the Western Empire that was headquartered in Rome, and you had the Eastern Empire that was headquartered in Constantinople. So here is this vision of this image, a golden head, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, and two legs of iron. I'm going to stop right there. We'll get to the feet in just a minute. All right? Each one of these representing a Gentile world power. Each one of these Gentile powers ruled over Jerusalem. Okay? So Jerusalem right now is Jerusalem is under Babylonian oppression. The people of Israel are in captivity. Following the Babylonian world empire came the Medo-Persians. They ruled over Jerusalem. Then came Greece. They ruled over Jerusalem. Then came Rome. They ruled over Jerusalem. So Jerusalem been trodden under the foot of the Gentiles since the time of the Gentiles that began with Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Now, there's two observations I want to make about Gentile government, if you will, and then we're going to finish up this vision at the end. But here's the first lesson. This is something that we need to know, I think, in light of what we're facing today in this country. Human government, especially Gentile government, is decreasing in quality. Decreasing in quality. Now, you notice that the four metals, gold, silver, brass, iron, the four metals are decreasing in worth or value. Silver is less than gold, less valuable than gold. Brass is less valuable than silver. Iron, less valuable than brass. This is a picture of the fact that the Gentile world governments digress in quality. And I believe this digression can be seen both morally and mentally. I really do. Even when you have a government that starts out as gold, like ours did. And I don't think you can deny that, friend. The government of the United States of America in its early days, it was a wonderful government. Okay? Based on biblical principles, it was a government, if you will, of gold. But it did not and has not retained its quality. Look at where we are today, folks. Comparing the quality of our current government with the quality of our original government is like comparing the quality of Notre Dame's football team versus Alabama's. I didn't have that in my notes, but it sure does fit there, doesn't it? Oh, my goodness. I'll go back to what my notes say, okay? It says this. Comparing the quality of our current government with the quality of our original government is like comparing the quality of Little League baseball with professional baseball. Now, think about this. The game is played the same. You go over here to Bourbonnais, watch a little league baseball game. They got a baseball. They got a bat. They got gloves. They got three bases and a home plate. They got a left field line and a right field line. They got nine positions. They got a catcher, a pitcher, four infield positions, and three outfield positions. They may not play nine innings. I don't know what they play over there, but they play a top half and a bottom half of the inning. They have an umpire. There's a strike zone, and there's a ball, and there's singles and doubles and triples and home runs, and there's stolen bases and sacrifice bunts. The game is played. The game is the same. But the quality is at two different extremes. Right? You might have fun watching Little League Baseball, but if you paid, you know, $45, well, you do get some kind of that when you go to see the Cubs a little bit that, but I mean, I'm just teasing. I ruined all you Cubs fans' night, didn't I? Now, if you pay $45 to go see one of the Chicago teams play, and it's the quality of baseball that's played over here in Bourbonnais, you'd be upset. You'd ask for your money back, and you'd have every reason to. Okay? Because the extremes would be, the quality would be at two opposite extremes. Now listen, we have the same format of government today in America as we did when it began. We got an executive branch, a legislative branch, and a judicial branch. The game is the same, but the quality is at two opposite extremes. We had a wonderful government. When George Washington and men of his character and ilk were running this country, we've got a horrible government today. Somebody said, my wife was telling me about an email that my son-in-law's dad, he has a lot of time on his hands, and we get lots of emails from him, lots of emails from him. I'm not kidding, sometimes eight or nine. Lots. Maybe that's not a lot to you, but that's a lot to me. One is a lot to me. Eight or nine is excessive, but anyway. So, anyway, this one she was reading, and it said, read below and find the that Barack Obama was voted the fifth best president in the United States of America. Fifth best. Number one was Ronald Reagan. Number two, they had the names of about 20 former presidents. For tied for second. Number three, they had the names of about how many other presidents tied for third. Fourth was Jimmy Carter. The fifth was Barack Obama. They voted him the fifth. So I thought that was pretty funny. But anyway, so hey, this is a very broad, painted here with a broad brush. Hey, Jewish people, you're in captivity, and your homeland is under the dominion of Gentile world powers. And it's going to stay under the dominion of Gentile world powers until Jesus comes to set up his kingdom. Okay? But, and I'm going to show, and he's showing Israel this because Daniel is writing, and he writes all this to his people. Now, these Gentile world powers, so see, it goes from gold to silver to brass to iron, teaching us that they digress in quality. And folks, that is the absolute truth. You say, oh, I don't know about sure about that. Russia's got a better government today than it had under communism. Are you sure about that? You been to Russia lately? We were there. When was that? 2000. Jack, when did we go there? 2007? 2007. Did it look very prosperous to you? It looked very prosperous to me. The trains we rode on? Heaven help us. Brother Swarty is a train freak. He loves them. My goodness, I'm telling you folks, we rode trains. We were very fortunate to get an air-conditioned car. We had to walk through an unair-conditioned car to get to another air-conditioned car where Daniel Irving, a fellow missionary, was in a third car, two cars back from us, and our car was air-conditioned and his was, and we walked through an unair-conditioned car, and I'm telling you, adult Russian men and women sitting around in their underclothing. Yeah. I don't think you, I think Luke told me he never even used the restroom on the train. It was so pitiful. I don't know what he did, but mine. It's just pitiful. Just dump right on the track. Go to the bathroom, just flush the toilet, just dump on the track. That's progress. It's pathetic. Yeah, look, there's a broad picture painted of Gentile governments here in this lesson, and it's that human government, especially Gentile government, is decreasing in quality. And I think you can look around the world today. Look around, go worldwide and find us a good government. You'd be hard-pressed to find a good government. Worldwide. Now, number two, the second lesson is this. Human government is increasing in strength. So human government is decreasing in quality, and human government is increasing in strength. As you go down this image from gold to silver to brass to iron, what do? You get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Okay, now, they got all these alloy-type metals today that they have, they make and everything, that sometimes are a little stronger. But I'm talking about gold, silver, brass, and iron. You're getting stronger, 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 and stronger. Iron is the strongest of the four metals. The strength of the government, the strength of government has increased over time. In the United States, there has been a transfer of power from the local level to the national, to the federal, the national level. And it's worse today than it's ever been. And if a local government dares to defy the federal government, well, they just shut them down. They just shut off the fun. They turn off the water. Until they cry uncle. You do understand that when Biden opened up this, whatever he's chairing, for gun control, the first thing he said with the first group he met with is that an executive order from the White House is on the table. In other words, what he's saying is, we get what we want, or he's just going to pass an executive order. So either you play ball the fun way, or you endure it the hard way. We're facing some real serious days here. Because he's just going to write it into law, executive order. Okay? So what's happening to our federal government? Stronger or weaker? I'm not talking about military might. I'm talking about oppression. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about heavy-handed. That kind of strength. Are you with me tonight? Okay? That kind of strength. It's increasing. It's increasing. All right? So you got to transfer power from the local level to the national. And by the way, folks, I don't know if you checked your email today. We sent another Action Alert email out that contained a couple of links it's about the same-sex marriage bill in Springfield, and the House of Representatives link was down today. The Senate one was open, was working, right? And my wife sent a couple of letters out. Take a look at that email if you get a chance to write the congressman down in Springfield and tell them to vote against this same-sex marriage thing. And if you get a chance, get on the phone and call Springfield about that Pat Brady. And if you take the time to do it, get on the phone and call Washington, D.C. and tell them you're not for any kind of gun control whatsoever. You say, will it do any good? I don't know. Because I tell you what, I just got it about 10 minutes today. I said, what? Executive order? And Biden started the whole meeting with that. It's kind of like, you're going to play ball with us or else. Now, would you call that heavy-handed? So this is what the picture is. Now, listen to this. When you mix decreasing quality with increasing strength, you have a combination that's deadly. You give a good charactered man some authority and he'll use it properly. But you give a bad charactered man authority and he'll use it improperly. And then you increase that authority and he'll use it even more improperly. And the worse the character and the more the authority is an equation for disaster. And it's happening. It's happening as you and I sit in this room. Men and women of low, bottom floor character in D.C., Republican and Democrat. It don't matter. You might find a good Republican charactered man. You might find a good Republican charactered Democrat. That'd be an animal, wouldn't it? A good character Democrat and a good character Republican. But I'm going to tell you what, man, you could probably count on one hand out of 50 senators who fits that bill. You got low character people with more power than they've ever had. Hello? And this is what God, so all I'm saying, what I'm saying is, look, bingo. Paul says, we're not of the night, man, we're of the day. We're Christian. We got the Holy Spirit living within us. We got a Bible. God's people don't stumble around in the noonday. Noonday's bright, right? God's people don't stumble around at noonday like it's night. God's people can see. God's people have vision. God's people have perception, or they should. And when we get in the scriptures, we learn a few things that God is giving us a kind of a painting with a broad brush here. He's not getting specifics, but painting with a broad brush about Gentile world powers and teaching us that they decrease in quality. And while they're decreasing in quality as far as the people go, they increase in strength. Oppressive. There are more oppressive governments right now, I believe, than there ever has been. Start calling them off. Start clicking them off in your mind. And we're living in one. Yes, we're living in an oppressive government right now, under an oppressive government. Absolutely. It's only going to get worse. Now, these are two facts that we should be aware of. And by the way, folks, if you're digressing in character, if you're going downhill, what happens when you go downhill? You pick up speed. We webcammed with Ben at lunch today, Ben, Ashley, and Leah. It was almost 10 o'clock their time in the evening, so it was the end of their day, the middle of ours. And we webcammed. Ben said, "That's been a bad day for Kenna." And they had some kind of student and teacher, which is daughter and mom, had some kind of a meltdown situation in school today. I don't know if any of you homeschool parents have ever had that, but they had one. And then they, so Kenna finally got to go out and ride her bike, and there's a hill there. And Ben said, "I saw her. She started down the hill." And I said, "Kenna, do you know how to use your brake?" "Yes." But she, I don't know what happened. And he said she was going down the hill and got to the bottom of the hill and hit the sidewalk, the curb. And she and the bike went all the way over and over and over. They had her examined. I guess she didn't break it. She's scraped up from head to foot. Now, that happened to me. That happened to you. I was just glad she wasn't wearing a helmet. She had a bike accident and survived. Like all kids. Amen. But this thing is digressing downhill. And it's picking up speed. I am amazed. How if you are not? I'm amazed by the rhetoric since November the 2nd. Are you? Brother. And like I said on Sunday, it brings out things in my heart that really aren't very nice. It's disturbing to me. Now, you got decreasing quality. I got to get done. Increasing strength, and I'm almost done. Let's go back to this dream. Let's look at the last thing. Look at verse 33. This is Gentile world powers, okay? His feet, part of iron and part of clay. Boy, there's been a lot of debate about that through the years, haven't there? Now, part of iron and part of clay. So when you get to the feet, you no longer have solid iron. You've got a mixture of iron and clay. Well, no, I take that back. Not even a mixture. It says part of iron and part of clay because they don't mix. Okay. Now, this represents, when you get to the feet, this represents the time period in which we are now living. Since Rome's world empire was depleted, there has not been a world empire. There has been world powers, but not a world empire. Many feel that this pictures a revived Roman Empire. Rome does have an influence in the world today, not politically, as much as it does what? Through its church, religiously. But I think you and I might be surprised how much that church has influence in politics. Hello. There's some pretty controversial material out there on the assassination of Abraham Lincoln by Jack Chick out in California. Never read it? It's worth the read. So you believe it? Read it and then talk to me. It's worth the read. As to who was behind the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. So we might be surprised. You know, everybody talks about how the Catholic Church is diminished in influence today. We might be surprised how influential it really is. Okay? But now, wait a minute. I'm not going to... Notice that the iron still exists, part iron, part clay. Now, this is Terry Angel. The iron could be a picture of the kind of government that's in existence today. Kind being strong, oppressive. Okay? You with me? Okay, so we ended with Rome, right? So the same iron... Oppressive, strong government. So the iron could be a picture of the kind of oppressive government that's in existence today. Could the mixture be a picture of the fact that there is not one world power like there was in the past? There are many oppressive governments, but not one superpower. You say, well, we live in America. Goodbye, superpower status. I'm sorry. And if he gets his way with this Department of Defense cuts, these Pentagon cuts, it's going to get worse, folks. You think the Taliban's afraid of us? Come on. They're just waiting their time. They did this to Russia. How long was Russia in Afghanistan? 14 years? 12 years? 10 years? Then finally Russia pulled out and Afghanistan continued on like they always had been. So it's going to happen again. We're going to pull out. Go right back to this crazy state like it was all along. You think China's afraid of us? You think we could rattle a saber in China's face and they would fear us? Bah. No. There are many strong in the sense of authoritarian. Is that the right word? Oppressive governments, many of them, okay, but not one superpower. And those many strong, authoritative, oppressive governments are pitiful in quality. Pitiful in quality. You start naming the leaders. Pitiful. Now, I'm simply saying this. We should not be surprised that government has become what it is today. You and I, we're Christians. We should see all this going on in D.C. We should go right here and say, you know what? God told us this a long time ago. He told us that governments would decrease in quality and increase in strength. Oppressiveness. Authoritarianism. He told us that. He told us that years and years ago. So this is not a surprise to us that this is happening to our government. Now, we should not roll over and play dead. We should fight and we should stand for what is right. We should call and we should go to the polls and we should vote and we should be vocal about what we believe. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The only permanent solution to this mess is the coming world kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And you read about that, you read about it in verses, he talks about it in verses 34 and 35. You saw that stone cut out without hands, smote the image upon his feet. And at the end of verse 35, it became a great mountain, a great kingdom. Now look at verse 44 and 45. Verse 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings, shall the God, oh, I didn't even read verses 41 through 43. I'm sorry. Well, I don't have time to do that now. I completely went past that. But look at verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, by the way, back to those feet. Part iron, part clay. Toes, part iron, part clay. You know who's coming out of that mess? The next world ruler. Antichrist. What kind of quality is he? Satan incarnate. How authoritarian is he? He rules with an oppressive fist. I'm simply saying, folks, that until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom on this earth, and that's happening. That's good. As sure as we see what's happening right now in front of us, that's going to happen too. We're going to win. And we might get beat up along the way. But we're going to win. And we ought to just keep our eyes open and we ought to know. We ought not despair. We ought not hang our heads. We ought not live in fear. We ought to be biblical-minded people that say, you know what? I don't enjoy what's going on around me, and I'm going to do everything I can to slow it down, the deterioration, train my family for God, take a stand for right, be vocal about what I believe, love the Lord, obey God. But you know what? This thing's going to go to pot. And here's the picture of it right here. And the longer we go with this thing, the decrease in quality and the increase in strength, and that's exactly what we are seeing today. Exactly. And it's going to be, I have no idea. Somebody told me that before the Connecticut shootings, you could buy an AR-15 for $900. Now, they're $2,700. $3,000. Go to Farmer Fleet. Look at the shelves over there. Try to buy some ammo. You know what you can buy? You can buy some shotgun slugs. Some field shot, that's about it. It's gone. It's incredible. And that's one store. Cabela's is sold, Cabela's is wiped out. Right here. It's right here in the book. I'm not in despair. In some kind of sense, it's a little bit exciting. It really is. Because the Lord's coming. Now, we may have some tough sledding before He gets here, but He is coming. And He'll put an end to all that mess. And then Israel will have everything it was promised in its Abrahamic covenant. Right? Have all the land, and more than the land, it'll have the peace. When the Prince of Peace gets here. Amen. All right, let's stand. Thank you for listening tonight. Our God and Heavenly Father, You put so much in this book for us to learn from. I probably didn't say anything tonight that these people haven't heard, been taught, but maybe just a fresh reminder tonight for us not to despair. Lord, the Jewish people have been through an awful lot, but You told them, You showed them that You were coming to set up Your kingdom. And God, we recognize that we may go through some difficult times, but Lord, we're going to be on the winning side when this is all done. I thank You for that. Help us to be busy about the Father's business, to occupy until Jesus comes, winning as many lost folks, helping as many struggling Christians to get stronger, keeping our hearts right with You, keeping our eye on the eastern sky with a song in our heart, Lord, even praise to our God, because, Lord, You have given us the victory. We rejoice in it tonight. God, help our country. Help our world. Please, in Jesus' name.